Adam Morrison here. When it comes to top-tier contracting, my go-to choice is McGilvery Environmental. They're not just any contractor. They're the best in Spokane and North Idaho. With years of experience, they handle it all. New construction, meticulous repairs, and asphalt overlays. From start to finish, they ensure your project is completed with the highest quality end results. And here's the scoop for this year. McGilvery Environmental has expanded its services to include asphalt paving. That means top-notch commercial parking lots, residential driveways, and road construction. So, ready to kickstart your project? Reach out to Kip at McGilvery Environmental by calling 208-556-6384 for your free estimate. Don't forget to mention my name, Adam from the Perimeter, and experience the difference that McGilvery Environmental brings to the table. Again, that's 208-556-6384, McGilvery Environmental. My number one choice for all my contracting needs. The Perimeter would like to thank our sponsor, HDG Architecture. HDG is a Spokane-based architectural firm whose aesthetic can be described as an understatement of badassery, an idea that sets the standard for their approach to every client and every project decision. The world is full of poorly designed spaces, and HDG wants to change that. Check out some of their award-winning work at studiohdg.com. Welcome to the Perimeter Season 3, Episode 21, presented by McGilvery Environmental. A lot to unpack here, Monday after selection show Sunday. I'm going to recap a little bit of the WCC tournament. We obviously know what happened. We're not going to go over San Francisco game. Talk about the game against St. Mary's. And then our seed, number 5 in the Midwest, which was, I think, a little bit surprising for some fans, a little bit for myself as well. Not that we got in, but I think it was higher than most expected and most projections. We'll talk about McNeese State, and we'll talk about a potential second-round matchup against either Kansas or Samford, obviously kind of leaning towards Kansas, and then a potential Sweet 16 rematch versus Purdue. A lot to unpack here. We got a lot of former Zags in the NCAA tournament. Fun times. It's a great time of year. Sunny out finally.
Oh man, it's nice.
You know, it's nice. Zags had to sweat the weekend a little bit, but I was, you know, 95% sure we were going to get in. And it was a fun weekend in Vegas. Obviously, we wanted to win the tournament, but getting to this point for this crew is fantastic. They should be proud of themselves for majority of the season after, you know, you'd say Maui, then mainly after we lost to UW. I think there was a lot of naysayers, inside and outside of the community that were saying this is the end of the run and Gonzaga's no good and blah, blah, blah. And I thought our guys did a good job once we got into conference of kind of reset. And we had adversity in conference. I mean, we lost the first game of the season to Santa Clara on the road. That obviously wasn't a good start, put us behind the eight ball, but we battled our way back to get that top two seed and get that automatic bye into the championship game. So proud of this group, obviously a lot to play for, but, was it 25 straight years?
Yep. 25 straight years.
I think people listening are obviously fans, but really need to, take a second to realize how special that is and how hard that is to do. I don't care what conference you're in, what part of the country, whatever, to do that consistently and have that culture of winning. Through different eras of college basketball too, right? Eras where big guys were prominent and then eras where big conferences and money and facilities really matter, you know, and we didn't have that. And then now getting to NIL and transfer portal, you know what I'm saying? Like it's harder than it looks. And I think sometimes fans take it for granted, which is not a knock on them, but I think they're so used to success that they don't realize like how hard and difficult it is to consistently win, get to the NCAA tournament. And then we have the streak of, what, 8 straight Sweet 16s,
yeah,
which is insane. Well, they can't win in March. I'm like, well, that's a pretty long streak. If we go, I think the number I saw, if we win, you know, obviously the first two games this weekend, it'll be 9, and we'll get into like the UCLA teams of the 60s and 70s that, made it to the second round or third, whatever it was for the NCAA tournament back then, you know, round of 16 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's really crazy.
It is. And, you know, you always hear the talk of the West Coast Conference is not great. You can't win in March. I'm always just like, what's the evidence of that? We've been to two Final Fours and we've been to two national championship games. What is that? And then we win eight straight, winning the first weekend, getting out of the first weekend. So,
yeah.
I mean, what was your initial thoughts on after the loss to St. Mary's? And we'll talk about the game here in a second. What was your initial thoughts? Like, were you sweating or were you just like, duh?
I think because of how we played against San Francisco, I think it was all the pundits were saying it was a foregone conclusion that Gonzaga was in.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what seed we were going to get, obviously. After the loss, I was just like, I was hoping for a seven. Hope seven,
yeah.
Or an eight, like stay away from a 10. It was a bummer. Like that game was just a bummer. And, and you never like having to wait around till Sunday to find out.
Yeah.
And then like watching Selection Sunday and like being in the third, you know, announced bracket. Like I knew, I felt like we were getting in, but you know, there was multiple teams in like net 29. I forget which team it was. I should get that stat, but like they were the highest net team.
Did not make it. Yeah. I think it was one of the Big East teams. Cause the stat before was 31, no team below or above 31 in the net. Did not get an at-large and not make it. So obviously that number moved down to 29, but we were firmly locked in at 16-17. And so I thought our chances were pretty high to get in. And then in that championship game, I think St. Mary's was one behind us, and somebody inside the program, not a coach, but like somebody inside the athletic department, I'm not going to say who, was basically like, this game, even though we want to win, it doesn't really matter because both teams are like, right, they're not going to move on the net. They're going to move one spot or two spots.
Right.
And so the game was a little bit anticlimactic for that reason. But it was interesting going into it, you know, having the thought of, all right, we can deny St. Mary's a regular season and then a championship, you know, tournament championship. Mm-hmm. That opportunity was there. And then obviously the automatic bid, just so you don't have to sweat the that Sunday. But I thought St. Mary's, you know, did a good job employing their pace in that game, really played physical with us. We had four turnovers in the first 4 minutes. I thought it was obviously a bad start for us. Usually we're taking care of the basketball for most of the later half and that's of this season. And they just really got extremely physical, and defensively they were good, especially in our pick and roll stuff. They were just kind of showing and center fielding and going over the top. We couldn't turn the corner. And in all fairness, like their style of play got the better whistle this game. Because I mean, if you think back to the first St. Mary's loss at home, there was the bad calls at the end, and then it led to the throwing the stuff on the floor. So I'm not trying to bait again and say, oh, the official screws. That was the end of the game. Like guys stepping on a line, the shot clock violation, foul on the weak side. They got to play a lot more physical than I think should have been allowed. But that's how they play, and Randy Bennett has that style. So I understand it not being officiated that way, if that's the best way to put it. They had a better whistle, but I don't think that totally determined, obviously, the outcome of the game. My point in bringing that up is, if they're allowed to play inside, Saxon can stay on the floor. They're very thin. Jefferson's obviously out. What's the kid's name who played good? Forbes. He was fantastic off the, or, you know, as like the four that's replacing Jefferson with nobody behind it. They only played Barrett. On the other side, they played six guys. I thought just early to start the game was not a great start for us, turning the ball over. No rhythm offensively. Their plan was pretty good. On Graham, they just pushed him out. He got a lot of his catches outside the block and really couldn't operate it. Had a decent game at 10 points, five rebounds, but only played 19 minutes, was in foul trouble. And so I thought just for totality of that game, St. Mary's really played their style. For the first time against us, Mahaney had a good game, but he had an efficient game. I think the stat before that was the three games prior that he played us. He had 36 points on 36 shots, not efficient. This game, he was 9 of 15, 5 of 7 from downtown, and 23 points. Really controlled the play. Pace was fantastic. Like, looked, you know, the part, and, you know, played solid. Like, just played really good and set the tone for them physically and set the tone for them on the perimeter. Marcelonis, who was ended up being player of the year, was solid as well at 13 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds, only 1 turnover. So they really took care of the ball from a perimeter standpoint. You know, and just played at their own pace, and that's St. Mary's. That's why they're so difficult to play. They're smart. They can play through foul trouble. That's another thing that they're really good at. They play physical, but they're used to getting 2-3 fouls early in the first half, and then their guys still play good defense but don't foul because they know there's nobody off the bench that they really, like, trust and use. And then Randy had a good plan, you know, defensively on some of our pick-and-roll stuff, and then he jammed a lot of the stuff with Graham inside, and hats off to them, and it was well deserved. Obviously, it's one of those programs that we're our rivals, but we respect them, and they had a great season. Randy actually came up and talked to me and Huddy after the game. It was pretty cool. He was really nice, and just like, yeah, man, it was, you guys are class act, all that, just, you know, good stuff. And I have a lot of respect for Randy and the program because they've squeezed water out of a rock a lot, and that's not a knock, but it's, I mean, St. Mary's College, okay? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. College.
Yeah.
And he's built a winning program that's, you know, pushed us to the brink. And it was 14 times we've met in the championship game. We've won 10, they've won 4. So obviously, when people are, you know, outsiders, like, it's not a rivalry, how does 10 to 4? It's like, no, it's a rivalry. All those games are pretty close, and they're hard-nosed and, you know, a lot of fight and all that stuff. And so hats off to them. But again, like, losing that game, I obviously upset a little bit as just a broadcaster and a fan, but I was still, I just kept going through scenarios. How do we not make it? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, how do we not make it? And I just couldn't find one, like, even just devil's advocate. And it's like, man, I don't see how we're 17 in the net. We were 4-7 versus quad one or whatever, quad one, 4 quad one wins, and then we were basically 500 quad one, quad twos, and then 17-0 quad threes. We had no bad loss except I would put the UW game in there, but I think they moved into a quad two. You know what I'm saying? But that was probably the only, like, legitimate bad loss. Santa Clara, you could count that early in the season. I mentioned earlier the start of West Coast Conference, but in totality, it was a great season for our guys, regular season.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously you want to win that last game, but I thought St. Mary's just, you know, had a great game plan. They out-rebounded. Here's the stat, though. I can't believe I didn't mention this. They're plus 17 on the glass. We're not going to win anything.
Yeah.
They just pushed us underneath, and that's something will be addressed, and our guys will, you know, kind of figure that out. But, you know, that's something that they probably are – you know, regretting a little bit. I don't think it was effort. It just got out toughed a little bit. And it's not that this group is tough and they know how to play physical games. Just got pushed around a little bit, and it snowballed. But again, hats off to St. Mary's. Like I said, Mahaney played his best game against us. It's an efficient game. He's had, like, some 20-point games, but if you sometimes look at the line, it's 7 for 17, you know, stuff like that. It's not very efficient. He was 9 of 15, controlled the pace, 5 of 7 from downtown. Did an excellent job of kind of leading them. Mitchell Saxon was great for them at 19 points, 15 rebounds. So did an excellent job. And then he was defensive player of the year. And I said maybe previous episode, Anton should have won that. And then he kind of held Graham in check. So, like, it was kind of like, well, I can see where that award was warranted, not just because of that one game, but it allows them to play single coverage.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, and then fan out to shooters, and that's a huge advantage if you can play single coverage inside and fan out to shooters, and then it's, you know, it's obviously one-on-one, but you don't have to rotate, and you don't have to, you know, close out, and you're getting drove against closeouts, and then it really puts pressure on your, you know, defense, no matter how good you are. Like, if you're always having to close out and guard guys off the balance going downhill instead of being stationary in gaps and stuff, it's a lot easier.
I was going to say about, I mean, when I was watching the game, I was just like, well, you know, Ike, Anton, they're going to come out and they're going to play, like, with a chip on their shoulder because they should have been MVP and defensive player of the year. And I feel like the St. Mary's guys, they just came out and they were played with a chip on their shoulder, like, we're going to take this tournament. Yeah. And they played like that.
Yeah, no, it was, they played with a lot of, you know, fire and on the front foot and chip and all that stuff. And there were some chippy moments in the game. There was a double technical, I think, with Dukas and Nemhard, and then Anton and Mahaney got into it a couple times. So it was chippy and physical, and that's how championship games are supposed to be. But it was nice, you know, for the league. It's like, well, these both teams are getting in, so you know, let's see what happens. And you know, like I said, great season for St. Mary's. But also, if you really look at where our guys were 6 weeks ago, everybody had us like first four out, not getting in, not enough quad one win, all that stuff, and our guys battled through it. The win at Kentucky obviously propelled us, and then just some good wins down the stretch. And so for a regular season kind of recap, I'm really happy with how our guys responded and didn't listen to the outside noise. And like I said earlier, it's 25 straight tournaments is insane. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what league, all that bullshit that I'm tired of listening to. 25 straight years is insane, making the NCAA tournament. Because you got to think, you know, injuries, you know, just weird stuff happening off the court, you know, drama or something. Like, that's never happened.
No.
And knock on wood, but that's a testament to the culture. It's a testament to the guys that they bring in, obviously the coaching staff. And then, you know, the athletic department and the university providing the resources to be successful. That's some of the fight that people don't understand, that they're fans of, you know, programs that are, you know, not as good or not winning consistently. Sometimes you're fighting your own athletic department, and you know, it's not saying you need everything, but sometimes you know, we can't spend money on this. You can't. And it's like, yeah, you can. Like, you got to spend a little bit more to get the reward back. So again, hats off to our guys. So, you know, fast forward to yesterday, we get the 5 seed. We're at, like I said,
the perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, Greens, how's everything going today?
Hey, Robert, we're good. Just checking in on that car loan we applied for.
No worries. Let me pull that up. Yep, looks like you're approved and all set.
Hey, that's great news.
So, you headed over to the dealership now?
Yep, just gotta make one stop first.
And we got a great rate, too.
Fast forward to yesterday. We get the 5 seed. We're at, like I said, I thought it was a little bit surprising, just because I thought 6, 7, maybe 8, 9, which is death. Not that you can't beat a 1, but 8, 9 just sucks because you're automatically playing. I think the 10, 7, 6 is where I thought we were going to be, and which I was totally fine with. But to see a 5 in Salt Lake, too, I think we're 8-3 in Salt Lake in the last times we've played there in the NCAA tournament. So it's been good to us for the most part. And then here's something that I want to throw out: playing McNeese from Louisiana, sea level. We've played in elevation. Obviously last year we played Provo, basically the same place. So we're used to that. I think that is something that could be an advantage. I don't care what anybody says, but when you go from sea level to elevation, it's a real thing. It's not like you'll be completely gassed. The best way I have always described it, it's harder to get your second wind quicker.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Like, you'll get your second wind, but it takes a little bit longer to get your second wind. That first zap, you're like, holy, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously I played in the league and I played in, you know, this area of the country and played at elevation. It's a real thing. Like, you go play when playing in Charlotte and LA, like playing the Nuggets, like you get tired quicker. And but then it takes a little bit. Okay. And then it comes back. So I think that's a factor. Just a little bit of information on McNeese. They're 56 in the net from a small conference, which is fantastic. You know, 3-2 versus quad one and quad two teams, which is really good again, because there are chances to get those type of wins. Obviously, only 5 are slimmer.
Yeah.
Their best win was against Virginia Commonwealth, first game of the season. They're number one in the nation in scoring margin, 18. That's obviously a little bit asterisk because the conference they're in.
Right.
But when we were doing that, people say the same thing. So, like, you got to take it with a grain of salt. And I also understand they still can score. And then number 5 in scoring defense, they're holding teams to 61.5. They have 4 guys that shoot 40% from 3. They play small. It's Will Wade, the former coach at LSU. Remember, got in trouble with some improprieties as far as like paying guys, but it was right before NIL, so it's just like and I mean this all seriousness, congrats to him. To you know, you kind of get a scarlet letter if you get, you know, violations. And then so he went away and took a job that probably nobody wanted, and I think the year before they won like 10-11 games, and this year they go 30-3. There's only two other teams that won 30 games. I think it's Purdue, and I can't remember who the other one, but there's three teams that won 30 games, and McNeese is one of them. They have four guys that score in double figures, and then like I said, they have four guys that shoot 40 from three. 40, 45, 45, and 40 on volume too, not just, you know, 20 attempts, like shooting in the 90 attempts and plus. So they're going to space the floor. They're going to try to run. Obviously, our advantage will be inside. They're not very deep inside. Usually when we play these smaller conference teams, their size and kind of how big they are physically is usually how you can kill them. Mm-hmm. Which what's going to be interesting for me is we like to play fast as well. And so we're obviously not going to change our complete style, but I think it's a great matchup for television and just in general. It's two great teams, and this McNeese team is really well coached. Like I said, it was a guy who was at LSU, so he knows big time college basketball, and obviously he's successful. And it's probably a guy that's going to get another big time job after this. Like, hey, look, I can actually coach. I took a team with 10 wins, and I get them to 30 wins.
No kidding. Yeah.
And then they got the Wells kid that played at TCU. I can't say his name. Shahada Wells was having a fantastic season. Transfer from TCU. He's averaging 18 points a game, shooting 40% from three, and then 48 overall, having a great year, almost five rebounds a game, 150 assists. So really good point guard out front. We did play TCU last year, so it's nice that we have some familiarity with them and watch the tape. With him last year, what worked, he wasn't as big as a vocal point, but you know what I'm saying? It's nice for the guys that, you know, have seen him. But this is a really good basketball team, man. They shoot 38 as a team, which is fantastic. 40 is the mark as an individual, but if you're above 35, 36, you're considered elite with volume from three, and then shoot almost 50%, 49.5%. From the field. So this is a really good 12 seed. The 12 fives are always interesting, no matter if it's Gonzaga or not, you know what I mean? So it's usually, this is how it usually goes. Usually the five is a bigger conference or a bigger name team that didn't have the greatest season ever, but are still good. And then it's usually like a really good, you know, a senior laden team from a smaller conference that's got a lot to prove, you know what I'm saying? So the matchups are always really fascinating because it's smaller conference versus usually a bigger conference team or a name brand team that's still had a good year, but that, you know, it's not a three, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not a two seed. So I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to have to play tremendous transition defense. It's going to be paramount. And then obviously we have to run these guys off the 3-point line. But Graham EK has to play good inside. Braden Huff has to play good inside. Anton has to get his post touches. I think our guard play was great up until the St. Mary's game, but that's just a different ball of wax. But they need to continue to play good. Nolan Hickman and Andrew Nembhard, first team Andrew Nembhard, Nolan second team all WCC, have played fantastic for the last 6-7 weeks. They obviously have to, this is not hot take stuff, but it's, they have to play good against this McNeese team, especially defensively. You can't get lost. So it's a good matchup, but it's also a scary one because they score. And then, you know, if I'm Will Wade, I say we have nothing to lose. And he, all these guys are obviously good coaches if you get to your, team's NCAA tournament, but he's coached against bigger programs and he knows how to prepare. So he's going to know how to scout. You know what I'm saying? Like that staff is prepared the right way to play in an NCAA tournament is what I'm trying to get to. So it's going to be fun. I'm excited for it. Again, Salt Lake's been great to us. It's a great hour and a half flight, so I think we should have a decent amount of fans. That's actually, I like Salt Lake. It's a cool, unique city. It gets a bad rap just because it's in Utah. I'm just being honest, but it's like, it's got really nice restaurants. There's actually nice bars. I know that's another thing that people don't think exists, but it's not like a crazy nightlife scene, but it's cooler than you think. It's got a cool vibe to it. So I was happy I wasn't going to like Omaha or Brooklyn or something like that.
Yeah, I was very, so I was, like,
yes,
it was very, I think it was a very favorable seating for us. I wanted to ask you, and this is just all, you know, speculation now, because we did not win the championship game. Mm-hmm. Do you think that if we would have won that game, we would have been the four seed in Spokane?
No, yeah. I just don't think the tournament, the committee would, mm-hmm. would reward us yeah. like that. And that, and in all honesty, it would have been kind of like unfair
mm-hmm.
because it'd be cool because it was supposed to happen during the COVID deal. And yeah. we were going to be the number one seed in Spokane. That'd be awesome. But like, you kind of earn that
mm-hmm.
because some teams, you know, like UConn's playing right in Brooklyn, that's considered in New York. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. like that does happen. And then Carolina, I think, is in Charlotte, aren't they? Or something like that. Anyway, they do give some teams, yeah. you know, that type of deal. But if you're like a four seed, it's kind of unfair. Mm-hmm. I just don't think they would do that.
Yeah.
But it's funny that St. Mary's ended up coming here. And actually, they're probably happy because they're familiar with the area.
Yeah.
And it's a quick flight. Moraga to here is, I think, 2 hours, you know, something like that. And then, like, all the support staff, like, oh, we're going to Wooden City. You know, like, they already know the area downtown.
I was excited to see them in Spokane just because, like, cool. I feel like that's, like, I know that we're rivals, but, like, we want to see them succeed in the tournament.
Do you want the WCC to do well? And then, and you know, it's units. I don't know if I've ever talked about this, but every time you make it to a different round, the conference gets, it's called a unit of allotted money, and then the conference splits it up however they want, but it's good for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So if they win games and we win games, it helps, you know, put line people's pockets, and you can argue all you want, but this is what this deal's all about.
Yeah.
College athletics. So yeah, I just don't think we would have got there in Spokane. I just think it would be too much of an advantage. It would have been a big talking point in a negative way. So why would you give a four seed, you know, mm-hmm. a chance to play in their home building, basically?
Yeah.
So Washington State gets in, which is cool.
Yeah.
You know, seven seed, I was kind of like, ooh, that one stung a little bit because they had a terrific year in the Pac-12, which was just a really good league on the top half. And so, you know, we'll see how the local teams do. Poor Eastern and gets the NIT again. It's that Big Sky deal. I just don't understand it. I know this is a Gonzaga podcast, or we can't say that without paying royalties. It's a Adam Morrison podcast. I just talk about what job I do. But yeah, I just, I don't think they would have given us the Spokane deal.
Yeah.
I guess we got to talk about our potential second round matchup. Obviously Kansas versus Samford, not Stanford. That one sometimes people get confused. Kansas is kind of limping into this deal, missing Dickinson, and then the other guard, probably their two best players, did not play in that first round loss in the Big 12, and I think they kind of sandbagged it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because they were just like, what's the point? We're probably going to be this seed line anyway, which is smart. Get your guys healthy. It's all about the run. And Dickinson, if people don't remember, is the transfer from Michigan, big time. Inside presence, probably 7-2. We played them in the Bahamas that year with the Joel's team and Corey, and we lost in the championship game. But remember, we beat Oregon in the previous game, that kind of a classic overtime win.
Mm-hmm.
But he really did a good job against us. He's kind of like Zach Edey, a little bit shorter, but just that big physical Big Ten. I know he's in Big 12 now, but like Big Ten center that pushes you around.
Mm-hmm.
And can score angle baskets. They do a good job of finding him on that. He's averaging about 18 points a game. He had a dislocated shoulder, so no, I don't know how long that lingers. If they're going to say, hey, we got to beat Samford, and then if he comes back against us. But in hypotheticals, because obviously we have to do that, we're playing the NCAA tournament, it's a good draw for us because we might obviously got to take care of business against McNeese. We might play an injured Kansas team kind of on our side of the country.
Yeah.
And then a potential to probably play Purdue. And I know Purdue's beaten us the last 2 years, but my thought process on that is we've played them twice. The last one, we had a chance to win the game. If we don't go 0-16 from three, we make that a better game. But we're leading at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be nice to play him with familiarity. You know what I'm saying? Hey, guys, all right, here was the plan 2 years in a row. This is what worked. This is what didn't. This is how they guarded you. You know what I'm saying? You just have familiarity. And so I think, in my opinion, this is a really great draw for a five seed. It really is. If you look ahead, you have to look ahead. I know, you know, you, your players don't look ahead, but like for hypotheticals and for podcast sake, you know, I think this is a really, really good draw for us.
I mean, looking at the other one seeds that we, you know, I don't think we want to play UConn.
I would not want to play UConn ever. In March. They're just so well built. Yeah, they keep going.
Oh, and I was just looking at them. I was like, we don't have very much familiarity with Houston or North Carolina right now. And the fact that we've played Purdue twice in the last 2 years, you know, third time's a charm. Maybe if we get to the Sweet 16.
100%. I thought it's hard to beat a team three times in a row. That old saying, it is true. And then again, like when you go into your prep, because these preps are really hard to do because they're on such short notice. If you're not prepared as a staff and organized, like it can be a, you know, game changer, and coaching matters and NCAA basketball doesn't the pro level, but you know, your guys are your guys and you kind of roll it out and you run actions and, you know, hopefully, you know, Kawhi Leonard makes a fadeaway and somebody's you know what I mean? It comes down to that sometimes, you know, and we're just like, all right, we got Hall of Famers versus Hall of Famers. Who wins? I'm really looking forward to this weekend coming up. Like I said, five seed's great. We talked about St. Mary's in Spokane, Washington State. Who's their first round game? What's the Washington State one?
Washington State plays...
Is it Drake? Let's see.
They play Drake.
That's going to be an interesting matchup. Drake's a really good, you know, smaller conference team, 28-6. It's going to be fun. Happy for their fans to have some success. Kyle Smith's a good coach. You know, there's a lot of Wazoo fans that are in this area, and I think they get tired of hearing about Zags, which I get it, but they finally had some success, and hopefully they can keep Kyle Smith there because he's really good. He's got, you know, he did a good job at San Francisco building that thing up and then moving to kind of a bottom half of the Pac-12 as far as recruiting. I know they hate when you say that, but it's just the truth compared to what you're recruiting against. I know the Pac-12 is absolving now, but he's done a good job of getting them to where they're at. Boise State play-in game versus Colorado as a 10 seed. I thought that was the weirdest one. Mountain West got weird draws on the seeds. Everybody was a 10. I know New Mexico was 11. Colorado State was a 10. I think they feel like they kind of got the short end of the stick. San Diego State was a 5, but that one makes sense. But a lot of the Mountain West teams who were good in that league, felt like they didn't get the right deal. But I it's kind of weird that Boise State gets a play-in game. And it's funny, we're going to talk about this, kind of the storylines with ex-Gonzaga coaches. But Boise State, obviously coached by Leon Rice, who I played for, and then Colorado, Billy Greer's assistant for them. I played for, and Billy and Leon have probably known each other for 25 years, coached with each other for 15 of them. So that's always weird. Going into this Selection Sunday, I would have bet money on it. You know, I would have got tremendous odds, but I was banking that they were going to go Arizona 2 seed, Gonzaga 7, and they were going to make us play each other in the second round, which I thought would have been awful. For both programs, just because it's no fun playing your buddy. If you beat Tommy Lloyd, he has a second round exit. That's 2 years in a row. You don't want to do that to your friend. And then if they beat us, see, we told you, you know what I mean? Like it would have been great for everybody else. You know what I mean? Like watching and storylines. But I just was like, I don't want that game. It just sucks playing your friends because it just is not fun. This is a crazy time of the year. It's the best time of the year, especially the conference tournaments leading up to it. They've talked in the past or this year about having 96 teams in the tournament. I'm like, no, this is absolutely perfect. Like, this is the perfect 3-week, 1 month long or whatever it is sporting event besides the World Cup. Like, it's the best in the in the world. Other than the World Cup that lasts this long. They have it perfect. Don't mess it up. Don't add more teams. I get money's involved, but the conference tournaments are that 96, right?
Yeah.
That's perfect right there. but former Zags coaching in
the perimeter. Will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, it's Olive. I just got my first ICCU debit card. Now I just need some money in my account. If only there was someone who could transfer in some allowance.
Wow.
But former Zags coaching in this tournament, Dan Munson, we'll get into that real quick. We mentioned Leon Rice, Tommy Lloyd, and then Billy Greer at Colorado. The Dan Munson one's interesting. He gets fired the day before, or a couple days before the conference tournament. He's been there 17 years, gone to 6 NITs and then 1 NCAA prior to this. And then his team is fourth in the Big West and they win the whole conference tournament. And then he's playing Tommy Lloyd, who I'm sure I know for a fact they know each other. So that's a cool Gonzaga connection.
Very cool.
And it's just funny that he wins the conference tournament after he's been let go. And it's kind of cool that his guys rallied behind him and he gets the NCAA tournament, takes him to the second time at Long Beach State. And so that'd be a fun matchup to watch. And I actually watched Long Beach State live randomly against Portland at Portland this year. My daughter was taking a visit down to University of Portland, so they had a game right after. I was like, oh, I'll stay for the men's game. And then talked to Coach Munson. It was cool seeing him. I haven't seen him in a long time. He actually coached me at a Team USA thing when I was going into my sophomore year. He was the assistant coach for Kelvin Sampson. We were a Team USA they do it in sections, so we qualified for the Worlds, and then the team next year was, but that's how they do it.
Yeah.
And so it was just cool to go. I went to a shoot around and talked to him for a bit, and it was so random. He's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, just at Portland, University of Portland's gym. Like, he's like, what is going on? Like, I was wondering the same thing. You guys walked off the bus. I'm like, what are you guys doing here? So anyway, good luck to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of former Zags in the tournament. Really excited. Hopefully we're coming back next week with talking about a Sweet 16 matchup. Do you want me to go over who I think is going to get out of each region?
Yeah, I'd love to get your thoughts on like what it would take for Gonzaga to get. I mean, what kind of game do we got to play? We just got to play our game, right?
Like, yeah, I think against McNeese, we have to really, control the tempo in a good way. Obviously, I talked about how much they run, but we got to dominate the inside.
Yeah,
Graham Ike and Braden Huff, and then Anton, obviously Ben Gregg's in that mix too, but we have to like control the glass and then punish him inside.
Yeah.
And then obviously you got to guard the three line. And then when we play Kansas, it's kind of weird because you don't know who you're preparing for. Obviously they're a super talented team. We're a top 10 team most of the year and then kind of sputtered. But they don't play like a weird style that we've never seen before. If Dickinson is out, it's obviously benefits us because then we'll have the advantage inside. But that would be a fantastic matchup. I don't think those two programs have ever played. So I think the NCAA was like, oh, this will be fun storyline to play each other. And I know Bill Self and Fuey are friends, coaching friends is what I'm saying.
Right.
And so I think that'll be a cool matchup. But I think in the East, UConn's the one, Iowa State's the two. I think UConn gets out of that thing. They got kind of a gauntlet. Florida Atlantic was a top 10 team this year, and they might play them in the second round. That's a tough matchup.
Yeah.
And then I think San Diego State, who we saw, who is just like a tough physical team. I think if San Diego State gets to that Sweet 16 for UConn, could give them problems because they play the same style of like, we're going to climb up into your shit and guard and play physical. They play similar, right?
Yeah.
So that'd be a fun matchup to watch. In the West, Carolina's the one. Arizona's the two. I really like Arizona, not just because of Tommy Lloyd. I think he's got those guys playing at a high level, playing, extremely, smart, physical, skilled, like just good college basketball. I think Carolina is a weak one. They got the fourth, but I just think they're vulnerable because they have kind of a short bench. They rely heavily on the Davis kid outside making a lot of shots, which he's fantastic. He had a 40-point game. He's really good, but if he goes, sideways or has an off game, then they're in trouble. That's what I'm trying to get at. So I like Arizona out of the West. In the South, Houston's one, Marquette's two. This one's interesting for me because Houston's always fantastic. They can guard. They play really physical, but they seems like every year late in the season or even the NCAA tournament, they have a game where they can't make a shot and then they get beat when they shouldn't have got beat when they're you know, superiorly talented, great coaching staff. They play like 10 deep, so they play like really like tough physical. Like that's their mantra, is like getting up India like crazy. But then sometimes they just can't like put it in the basket, and they got boat raced by who was it, Iowa State in the championship game. They couldn't make a field goal. I mean, I watched some of the game. They had 5 points like halfway through the second half. In that half, like it was crazy. You know, like they just couldn't make a shot. But then also, I think Kelvin Sampson was smart and just didn't wave the white flag, but just let his team get blown out. And sometimes that's a good thing, knowing you're going to get a number one seed anyway, and just regrouping and using that as fuel. Like, hey, all right, we got to reset. And sometimes, like, hey, you get blown out by a good team, and you still love your personnel and your guys, so you just come to the locker room, like, hey, man, let's regroup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So out of that one, this one's tough.
This is the hardest one. Has Houston, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Duke, NC State, Kentucky, Florida, Boise State, Colorado, and Marquette. Like, that's just like a
– I think
it's tough.
I like Kentucky out of it.
Yeah.
I just think that they're so offensively inclined and superior that they can get hot. Now, defensively, that's going to be the question for them. But I know the NCAA is trying to get Kentucky and Marquette in that deal and try to get, you know, Duke versus Houston, and then they want Kentucky Duke in that Elite Eight. Like the NCAA is begging for that to happen, which the storylines and all that stuff, the history of it makes complete sense. And then obviously in our region, I'm picking us, not just because I think we have the legitimate chance, but I think Purdue's going to be tough. Tennessee's played great basketball as a 2 seed. But again, like I really like our chance to make a run. Obviously, you got to get out of the first weekend, but Purdue is going to be hard if we get to that point. Like we just talked about, playing the third time and having a chance. So it's going to be interesting. I never fill out brackets. I'm not even joking. I haven't filled one out since like high school, and I just don't. But I obviously love this time of year. It's fun to watch. I think those teams have a great chance to make a deep run, and that should be a fun tournament. And like I said, again, to cap this off, I'm really proud of our guys for having a great regular season and kind of grinding through some adversity and looking themselves in the mirror and changing the way they play and, you know, believing in themselves. I know that's all cliche stuff, but it's easy to like listen to the outside noise, man. I mean, the sky was falling. You know, you start going online and seeing what people are saying. We knew this was going to happen. And now you just laugh. Like, what are you talking about, man? Like, we are a 5 seed, like, at large.
Well, the new pundits are, I mean, they said it on the broadcast last night, is that I forget which guy said it, but he was like, I like McNeese and against Gonzaga, and I'm like, God, we're always that team that like we always pick to lose. Like, and it's just like, it's always kind of funny.
Well, and I get like you're a product of your own success, or you're a prisoner of your own success is what is the term, you know. So like the expectations make it, they are what they are. But also like, we had a pretty good year. What, we were 26-7 or something like that. Like that's pretty good.
Totally.
Right? So our 25-7, and two of those losses, like I said, were against UConn, Purdue, two number one seeds. San Diego State made it in. St. Mary's twice, they made it in.
Yeah.
So like, if you really want two bad losses really against non tournament teams, it's pretty good.
That's really good. I was going to ask about, like, we didn't talk much. Obviously, we didn't talk about the San Francisco game, but Ben Gregg just was unreal in that game. Like, I think that will happen again in one of these games if we're going to go on a run. Like, is he the biggest X factor on this team right now?
That's a really good point. It's a really good topic, too, is we have to shoot the ball, obviously, the greater on the perimeter. And Ben is, I know he's a 4-3, but he is one of our better shooters. He's got to put the ball in the basket. He's got to be able to space the floor, especially if Graham and Anton are getting double teaming on the block. So he's got to shoot it well. He's got to seek shots because he's been great in the starting lineup for us. But you saw in the St. Mary's game, he didn't really have an impact because they didn't allow him to get wide open threes. yeah, I think Ben has to shoot it well. Everybody does, but
yeah.
Ben can be, Ben has the best chance of being the guy that's the most open out of our perimeter shooters.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock, but usually you pick and choose on who you're going to kind of give things. You give got to give stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one that usually is the guy that's open.
Yeah.
He could make shots, but the way the rotations work and double teaming, they space him out that way on purpose to get him strip wide open threes. So he's got to play good. Ryan and Nolan have to get back to playing solid. They didn't have a great championship game, but they've been solid before that, but they got to play solid. And then again, defensively, we have to be like, you know, wide-eyed and bushy-tailed on the three-point line against these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I talked about four guys shooting 40%,
yeah.
38 as a team. That's real.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, and you know how it is in these games, if a 12 starts banging in threes, the crowd's going to start cheering for McNeese State.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So anyway.
We could always run into a Davidson.
Yeah. 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 You never know. And
yeah.
Obviously, you know, it's going to be fun, but
yeah.
Thank you to our sponsors, McGilvery Environmental, Idaho Central Credit Union, HDG Architecture. We'll see you next week.